Han vår, ge vår få, ge vår kvinn sör på. Amen. It's that time of year again, when we look back to see what has happened, and we look forward to what we hope will happen. We compare our lives today with what happened 1 year ago, and where we have gone, and what we want to do in the future. We reevaluate our accomplishments, our finances, our health, and just where we are in life. And we do this because yesterday 1 year came to a close, and today a new year begins. And we do this very often, not only with New Year's, but we do this when we open new chapters in our lives. That could be whether we get a new job or a relationship, if we move from one place to another, or if we become sick and then we are healed. We look back at what has happened, where we are, and where we want to go. In today's gospel reading, Christ is speaking at the Last Supper. And remember, at the Last Supper, this is the moment where he establishes Holy Communion, the sacrament of Holy Communion, the Eucharist, what we do every Sunday. He establishes this, he washes the feet of his disciples, and he speaks of his betrayal that is coming, his suffering, and his ultimate death at the hands of the Pharisees and the priests. It's probably one of the holiest moments in all of the Gospels. And he is saying this because he is telling the apostles, the disciples, that one chapter of ministry is coming to an end, and now a new ministry is going to begin, and you need to take that on and be prepared for it. Again, probably one of the holiest moments in all of the Gospels. And how do the disciples respond to this? They start to argue as to who is the greatest among them. They start to question and say, I'm the greatest. No, I am the greatest. Probably thinking Christ is leaving, so now somebody has to take this on. And who's going to be that one that takes it on? It's similar to a grandmother or a grandfather or a parent on their deathbed dying. The children and the grandchildren gathered around, and they begin to argue as to who's getting what from the house. That's how ugly and how ungrateful it seems and shows. But Christ's response is even more amazing. He doesn't necessarily chastise them and yell at them, but rather he says, he who serves will be the greatest among you. He who serves will be the greatest among you. So often we think like the disciples, that we have to have a position of authority to do anything in life, especially in the church. We think, oh, I have to have more money, or I need to have more strength, or I don't have enough talents to do anything, so I can't help. And so often we come up with excuses why not to do things. But this could not be further from the truth. There's a story of a very young monk in his monastery, and he decides he's going to go up onto a hill and he's going to pray. And he's going to pray for wisdom and for help. So he goes up onto this hill in the morning and he starts to pray. And as he's praying, another monk comes up the hill and says, brother, come down and help. Come down and help us in the services that we're doing for today. And he says, no, I can't come down right now. One day I pray that I will be a bishop. And when I become a bishop, I will change everything and be so helpful to everyone. I will help in all the services and I will transform everything. I will wait for that day. Midday comes around noontime, another monk comes up to him on this mount, on this hill, and says, brother, come down and help us. There's a meal that we have to prepare because we have lots of guests that are coming. Help us prepare for this meal. He says, no, I can't right now. I'm praying. I'm praying that one day I will receive such a large inheritance that I will be able to not only feed those people that have come today, but I will feed the monastery, and I will feed the village, and I will feed everyone all the time. I can't come down now. Let me pray for this. Then comes the evening, He's still on this hill. And the monks come up to him and they say, "Brother, come down and help us clean the tables, clean the rooms, help us clean up everything." He says, "No, I can't right now. I'm tired from all this praying. Let me get some strength. And when I'm stronger and I feel more aruik, what was it? Energized, thank you. When I feel more energized, that's the word I'm looking for. You can tell I had a late night last night. Energized, then I will be able to come up and help all of those down there and help you clean." And so they leave him alone. He's still on this hill in the nighttime, and he sees in the moonlight, he sees Christ down below in the garden, watering plants. And he yells from up above, he says, "Lord, what are you doing? Why are you watering the plants?" And he says, he turns to him, Christ turns to him and says, "Come down and I will tell you why." He comes down from the hill and he says to, and Christ continues to the monk and says, "Even these flowers are precious to me and I need your help to water them." He goes on and he says, "Your goal must be not to pray for the right moment to help someone, but to serve whenever the person comes, whenever someone comes and asks you for help, you help at that time. If you constantly think and wait for the right circumstances, for the right moment, for the right opportunity to help someone, you will miss it every time. Because you will never have that right moment, in your opinion. It will always be better some other time. I can always have more money to help. I can always be stronger later on. I can always do this or that later on. When they ask you to help, that is the moment you must help. As small as it may be, it will be great in my eyes." We see in this story that the monk thought that he had to have this great fortune or this great position or this great energy in order to help people. And he waited and he waited and he waited, and as a result, nothing ever happened. He only dreamed of what might be one day, and he never did what God had asked him to do. Christ was more helpful watering those plants in the story than this monk was standing on a hill and praying. My question then is, how often in this past year have we stood and stayed on that hill, not helping when we should have? How often have people come to us on that hill asking us to help, and we've come up with excuses not to help? How often have we rejected the requests of Christ himself asking us to help? And there are many excuses, and I've heard them. I've been here 11 years. I've heard them all. All right, some that I never thought I'd hear, and they were doozies. I heard them. But we have excuses all the time. And we may say, "I'm not in the women's guild, I can't help. I'm not in the parish council, I can't do anything. I'm not a member, I'm not a steward or a pledge member, right? I don't know Armenian, I don't know the Bible, I don't know our Armenian history very well, I can't help. Financially I'm not ready to help. I'm not very social. I don't want to really talk to people. I have no voice to sing. I can't cook. I have no energy. I don't know what to do. I can't help. I'm going to pray that one day I am able to help, and I'll wait for that moment." When we come up with excuses not to help, we are basically telling Christ, "I don't want to help you. I don't want to help you. And I'm going to wait for a time that you give me a blessing so I can help you." Listen to that. "I'm going to wait for you to bless me so that I can help you." What kind of thought process is that? But in reality, we have to look at it this way. I may not be a very good cook, but that does not mean I can't feed someone. I may not have a very good singing voice, but that does not mean I can't join the angels and sing on Sunday somehow. I may not like to interact with people, and I've told you this before, I am an introvert. I do not like socializing. I really don't. It drains me. Every Sunday I sleep for 5 days. No, I'm kidding. But I'm very drained after Badarak on Sunday. But that does not mean I don't know how to welcome someone into our community and make them feel part of this community, because I want them to be here. Just because we can't or don't have something we think we don't have doesn't mean we can't do it for the glory of God. In God's eyes, no matter what you do, as small as it may be, it is great in his eyes, because you helped and you served. And that's what he asks the disciples to do in today's gospel reading, and he asks each of us to do every day. So as New Year's begins today, I know we all have resolutions, and you'll have another resolution in a couple of days after this one fails. So I ask that at your next resolution, the one you keep for this year, serve more. Help more. Be a disciple of Christ more. The little acts of service that you do, as small and insignificant and unseen as they may be, are going to be seen and glorified by God in his eyes. Again, it could be as small as opening a door and taking someone you've never met by the hand and bringing them to the hall afterwards. That little small act is great in God's eyes, and it will be glorified by him, and then you will be great, not just here, but in the kingdom to come. Amen.